Welcome to Northwoods. My name is Amy Sutton. It's so great to have you joining us today. If you're watching our live service, we'd invite you to join the chat. Say hello to our new online campus associate pastor, Kyle. He would love to get to know you a little bit better, so let him know your name and where you're tuning in from. Last week, Pastor Keith kicked off our series called Five Things God Wants to Know. And if you missed that message, be sure to check it out in our archives at media.northwoods.church. Pastor Cal is back today, and he is ready to go. He's going to be talking to us about how to turn our fear into faith. And it's such an important topic of conversation for every single one of us. I know many of us deal with fear in a variety of ways every day. And so it's going to be great. And I know God is going to speak to each of our hearts. We're also going to take communion at the end of service. So if you're watching at home, go ahead and grab some juice, some crackers, whatever you have, really, and set it aside for when we take communion together. Well, we hope you'll sing along with us. Northwoods Online starts now.
Good morning, Northwoods. Come on, would you stand to your feet? Jesus is alive. We always have a reason to sing. Whoa, 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 whoa. It wasn't for nothing that you shed your blood, so I'm gonna live like my shame is gone. Won't be shackled to the way I was. I'm gonna live like my chains are gone, gone. Now my sin is dead and gone, and I sing hallelujah. Sing done, done, done. He is risen, it is done, and I sing hallelujah.
done, but Lord, just for who you are. And so we worship you today. Let's sing it out.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, holy, holy.
want you to bow your heads and your hearts for a moment today, Northwoods, and I want you to just kind of imagine in this moment, all of us gathered here together, it's like we're on board this cruise ship. And there may be some waves battering the boat, storm blowing through a storm right now, but there's a greater reality, and that's who's on board the ship. Because Father God is here. His Son Jesus is with us. And His word to us today, Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And it's in His presence that the mountains crumble and fall, fears dissipate. And in just a minute, we're going to look at a question that Jesus asked His disciples that He would ask us today. What are you so afraid of? Why are you so afraid? And if you perhaps brought a fear into here today and you can answer that, Lord, I'm afraid that. I want you to identify what that is. Afraid that I'm not going to get that job. I'm afraid that this marriage is never going to get better. I'm afraid that I'm going to be alone. I'm afraid that this health problem is never going to get well. What is it? If you can identify that, I want you to wrap your hand around it like you're wrapping it around a rock today. Here's my fear. I'm afraid that. And now I want you to give it to Him. Just open your hand. Here's what happens when we recognize He's here. I go from I'm afraid that, I open my hand, give it to Him, and say, I thank you, Lord, that. I'm afraid that. But now because I recognize you, I thank you that. I thank you that you got this. I thank you that you're in control. I thank you that you've got a purpose and a plan for me. And so it's in His presence. I pray we can make this our declaration today as we continue to worship. I am not going to live as a slave to fear because I'm a child of God and He's on board this vessel. Amen? Amen. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. Come on, you know it. Sing it out. I'm no
you, Jesus, that your perfect love casts out all fear. I am surrounded by the arms of a Father. I am surrounded by songs of deliverance. Sing it out. I'm no
slave to fear. I am a child.
Yeah. Let's pray together.
God, again, in this moment, we are so grateful for your incredible power and love that you give to us so freely and so generously. We say thank you for setting us free and giving us the life that you have promised, that we can have so much because you walk with us, you guide us, you provide, you give us hope, inspiration, so much that you do for us. We're grateful people and we worship you because of your incredible love for us, but also because of truly who you are. So in this moment, we again release our hearts and our minds to you to teach us, to shape us into the way that you want us to be. And we pray that we will have the boldness of faith to listen to you and follow you with great confidence. So meet with us, we pray. You're invited here. And we thank you for all that you are doing for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And great to be together again, isn't it, to worship him. And I'd like to invite our ushers to come forward at this time. and as they're receiving, just a great shout out for your faithfulness and giving. We need that to continue strong as we enter into this new ministry season. So much God has assigned us to do and called us to do, and your giving makes that possible. So thank you for that. If you're new to Northwoods, just let the bags pass you by. We'd love to meet you, however, so please stop at any of our new here kiosks for some information that we want to get pass along to you. And there's so many ways to give, folks. And if this doesn't work for you, check out our online. You can use your mobile devices. If you're joining us online, there's giving platforms there. Take advantage of those. Your giving makes a big difference, not only here, but around the world. And I want to touch on one of those places, and that's in the nation of Brazil. And for many years, we have had the privilege as a church to influence church leaders and to help churches in Brazil grow and to be healthy and strong. But there's so much to be said, and so we're going to watch this video to really give us an overview of what's going on there.
So Northwoods has a long-standing relationship with the pastors in Brazil. Pastor Cal's been traveling there for years, teaching with a Global Leadership Summit. And when we partnered with Surge here a few years ago, Brazil was a logical place for Northwoods to look to invest in church planting and a place where we could go on the ground and actually help church planters with training. So we're partnered with ELON, which stands for Igreja, Light to the Nations, or Church, Light to the Nations Church. Philip Murdoch, who many here at Northwoods now have met, he's been here a few times to visit with us. He's a regional director in that part of the world for the Surge Project. And it's pretty exciting that we were able to have a team on the ground there last spring of 2019, where we got to actually meet church planters for Surge. Some of the first people that we have resourced to plant churches, we met them in their environments, in their church buildings, actually, and got to participate in worship with them. So it's exciting what's happening because we invested in a strategic church, which is kind of a church planting church. And it started out a few hundred, and it's already over 1,000 in attendance, and they're ready to actually plant multiple churches out of that in Rio de Janeiro area. But we also are planting significant or village churches over in the state of Paraná. So we'll be taking another team there in the spring of 2020, and we're looking for 12 or 14 people that would go and help us help the churches there. They have a dream center on site in Rio, and so there are lots of things people can do. You can be involved in medical, dental work. You can be involved in a food pantry, a clothing store. There's a school there. And they have these mission rooms or suites, they call them, where our people can stay. And you get a chance to meet lots of church planters that we have resourced through Northwoods, through the Surge Project.
Hey Northwoods, this is Philip Murdoch. Thank you so much for your prayer and your support in everything we're doing here in Brazil. Churches being planted here in Rio in an amazing way, people being reached, and also in the south of Brazil, many, many, many people being touched by tens of churches that have been planted down there. Thank you so much. We're looking forward to having you on the next Northwoods trip here in Brazil, in Rio or in Paraná. It's going to be great.
All right. Well, you can tell that we've already had an incredible impact there. And now we're looking for even greater opportunity to expand the gospel and fulfill the Great Commission there. And God has really opened up some doors and allowed us to do this in an incredible way. And so as we look at that, you may be wondering, well, how do I get involved, or how can I possibly help with expansion in Brazil? And the first way is our giving. So if you wonder sometimes when you're writing that check or making that deposit, whatever that might be, however you give, it's making a difference in places like Brazil for sure. Another way is every time you purchase a second Sunday sack lunch right here on our campus, those proceeds as well go directly to support our missions work. And then another way that you can get involved, and you might be interested in actually traveling to Brazil and doing a short-term missions trip there. And if that's the case, we will be offering an informational meeting you'd want to take advantage of. And that will be offered next weekend. And you have an option of either Saturday night following the service or in between the 9 and 11. And maybe all of that applies to you. So whatever works for you to be involved with us making a difference and planning churches and seeing the kingdom expand, get involved with that. And I know God will bless you as well. Well, let's now kind of transition as we begin to prepare our hearts to receive the word of God.
Good morning, Northwoods. Y'all doing well? Hi, everybody good? All right. Great to see you guys again today. And hey, let's just give it up for our other campuses and our online family. Let them know we're always glad to have them with us. And, you know, before we get going today, just take a deep breath, everybody. I want to give you a heads up on an impending staff transition. We've had a lot of people come and go over the years, and no matter how these transitions occur, they're rarely any fun for any of us, because we've grown to love the people involved. They've had significant ministry among us, and their going leaves a hole that's hard to fill. Well, 8 years ago, we were blessed when Tommy and Jana Briggs joined our staff. Tommy was instrumental in helping us develop our freedom ministry. And since then, hundreds of you have gone through our freedom classes, probably at all of our campuses as well. And you've experienced a freedom weekend. And then Jana came on staff with us as well. She's just been an incredible cheerleader helping us connect people here to Northwoods. And while they weren't looking for opportunities elsewhere, the Lord recently opened an incredible door of ministry for them. And as they prayed about it, they felt that they were to take that opportunity. And while I'm not happy about losing them, I'm excited with them about the opportunity that they'll have to return to the Dallas area, which is where they're from. Their parents' family live in the Dallas area. And they're going to be working on staff at one of the largest and most influential churches in the country, Gateway Church. Just amazing. I go, that says something to us that when one of the greatest churches in the country comes pillaging our staff, right? Tells you the kind of quality of staff we got around here. And so as you see them around, and I don't know, are Tommy and Jana in this service? They were with us, I know, in the first service. But even so, listen, just give up a hand for them right now. And just love them. I was just kind of sick in my gut when I learned about this just a couple of weeks ago. Tommy will actually be starting there within just a couple of weeks, by the end of October here. And then Jana will be heading down once their house sells here, be praying with them for that. But as you see them around over the next few weeks, you thank them, stop, and you know, just hug their necks and make them feel really lousy for leaving. No, don't do that. I did tell Tommy I think it would be poetic justice if my Packers beat his Cowboys today as a way of just kind of compensating me for our loss, right? Like, why should I lose you and then lose again? I would think you'd want it to be a win-win, right? I don't know that he was really up for that, but no, we're blessed, so blessed by them, so grateful that we've had them for 8 years. So pray for them, pray for us as we seek the right people to fill their roles, or as we just kind of pause at this point and look at the whole freedom ministry. Their leaving has been an occasion to remind myself again that now is not the time to fear, to stew, to become anxious about, Lord, what are we going to do? You know, it's not the easiest hole to fill. There aren't a lot of churches that do freedom ministry. I'll just have you know that. We are a unique church in that there are just some ministries we're doing that are very, very difficult to find the right people to fill those holes. So I'm not to become anxious about it. If we believe God's in control and is leading us and them, then he has the answer to our need and will lead us in the discovery of that answer. And so it's a fitting reminder today as it relates to our second question in the five things God wants to know. Why are you so afraid? It's a question Jesus asked his disciples one day in response to a fierce storm that had caused them to panic. You find this in Mark chapter 4. I love this passage, verses 35 to 41. Jesus has been teaching the people all day, and he says, and if you have your Bible, turn there, Mark chapter 4. If not, it'll be coming up on the screen. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Stop there before I move on. He had been with the crowds all day. He'd been teaching. Now it was time for a little rest because, yes, he was fully God, but he was fully human as well, and so he got tired. So it's time for a little rest while he's on the way to his next assignment. Remember that. The disciples have no idea what that assignment is. I just remind you that there are no chapter verses in the original Greek, or chapters in the original Greek. So chapter 5, when he gets to the other side, we understand his assignment. We'll get to that in a minute. They don't know what this assignment is. They're just thinking he probably wants to go to the other side to get away from the crowds. But here's my question to you. When Jesus says, let's go to the other side, where are we going? Say it. Yeah, we're going to the other side. That's true of the storms we go through in this life. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. I don't care if a storm comes, we're going to the other side. Remember this. That's also true of the final storm you'll encounter, your last breath on planet Earth. I'm going to be doing a funeral for Joe Burgess on Tuesday, a man who was part of my security detail, was here all the time, and a year ago, ended up with some kind of lung cancer that has taken him out. But when I would see Joe, there was absolutely no fear. Why? Because Jesus is on board the boat and we're going to the other side. And there's going to be a day for every one of us that we take our last breath and he says, time to go to the other side. Where are we going? We're going to the other side. So we're not going to fear when the storm comes. And we're not going to fear in between times when we go through storms here and now. So if you're with Jesus and he says, we're going to the other side, that's where we're going to end up, on the other side. Just so you know, he does never say, let's go to the other side without a purpose for doing so. And never once yet has a storm stopped him from fulfilling his purpose. All right? So he said, let's go to the other side. Read on. Verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Just as he was, meaning he'd just been teaching all day, probably didn't have his duffel bag with him, doesn't matter, we're going to the other side. Got something to do over there. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, which tells me these guys were fishermen. They know when there's supposed to be a storm and when there's not, but this is the Sea of Galilee. We know that it's normal sometimes for squalls to come up. The wind comes over the mountain just the right way. It can produce a storm. But I don't believe this was a storm sent by the Father. I'll talk to you about that in just a little bit. Furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Storms come. Jesus just asleep. Some of us are going to find out we need a cushion today. He's not worried about the storm, but the disciples are freaking out. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, underline that in your Bible, remember that. He never rebuked anything that was sent from the Father. He only rebuked what was coming from a different source. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down. It was completely calm. Now he's going to have a little time with his disciples. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? And he added to that something we need to understand. Do you still have no faith? And then they were really afraid. It says they were terrified. Now, not the same kind of fear of the storm, but this was like this awe-inducing thing where they ask each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. But that second question, do you have no faith, was Jesus' reminder that when a storm comes, you can either cave to fear or you can stand in faith. While the reality for all of us is that storms will come, the question is, will we choose a fear response or a faith response? I want to help you with knowing how to choose that faith response today. See, fear usually results from facing a storm that we don't feel adequately equipped to handle. Some of you may remember a video I showed about 10 years ago from a performance coach named Jack Grapple. If you were here for that, you're going to remember this. It's a great little video. If you weren't here for it, you need to see it. So I'm going to show it to you. Performance coach. He would work with professional sports and business teams to help them conquer their fears, go to new levels of focus and effectiveness when unexpected storms would arise to derail them and take them off mission, which is what our fears do when the storms come. These teams would come to his camp down in South Florida and go through some training. And one of the training events would require them to jog about a mile through the woods, touch the white fence at the end of the trail, and then get back in 18 minutes. But he'd always say, your mission is touch the white fence. What's the mission? Touch the white fence and get back here. Right? And then, just as he would say, ready, set, he said, oh, by the way, I forgot something. While you're on your way, you may come across some big snakes that are out there sunning themselves on the path, but what's your mission? Touch the white fence. Don't let the snakes deter you. Oh, and by the way, when you get down to the white fence, there'll be a little ditch that you kind of go through, and sometimes there have been known to be some crocs there, but what's your mission? Ready, set. Oh, by the way, I forgot about something. There have been known to be wild boars in the bushes on the way. Should you encounter one of those, take appropriate action, but don't get thrown off your mission, which is touch the white fence and get back here in 18 minutes. Well, he's got these great big linemen for the Miami Dolphins that he's training one day. And he has just told them their mission, touch the white fence and get back here. You got 18 minutes. Give them all the obstacles they might face, but fulfill the mission and get back. Ready, set, go. Would you like to know what happened to those big old Miami Dolphin linemen? Well, here's what they didn't know. Jack had a guy out there in the bushes. Yeah, with a little microphone, and he's all set up so that when they run by at that place, they would shake the bushes and go like there were some wild hogs in the bushes. You want to see those linemen when they get there? Let's watch. I don't know how many of you are Miami Dolphins, but that's how they're playing today. Have you noticed how much faster they went? Running back, they got back there. He said, hey, did you fulfill your mission? No. Why? Oh my, we came up, you can't believe what we met out there. Some wild boars in the bushes. Incidentally, you know, about a week later, he was training some FBI agents. They got to that same place. Bushes shake, right? They did this. And you know what happened? The guy in the bushes stood up and said, oh my gosh, what if they got their guns? Scared them right out of the bushes. Which is what happens when you're prepared for the storm. You see? But that picture, these big football players who are afraid of nothing, right? Hightailing it back to the camp is the picture of the disciples in the boat that evening. Freaking out as they encountered a storm. Maybe it's a picture of how some of us respond to our storms. Just so we understand, not every fear response is a bad response. Yes, God created us with the ability to feel the emotion of fear. Fear is an emotion that inspires us to take appropriate action when facing a real threat to our well-being. We take action, or we take the appropriate caution or precaution, and the fear dissipates. But that's a far different thing than the incessant, crippling fear we're talking about today, where it's almost like we live in perpetual fear. We're in the face of either real or sometimes imagined threats. We're paralyzed by anxiety and panic concerning things over which we have little to no control, and it's taken us off mission. And so today, if you're one who feels like you tend to live in the grip of fear, just something you face all the time, just kind of this sense of impending doom, constant thoughts of what if, what if, what if, always thinking that the worst thing is going to happen. You're crippled by anxiety. You're held back by a sense of panic. You got no peace in your life. I want to show you how to stand in faith rather than cave to fear when you're facing an unexpected storm. So I'm going to give you five keys that spell the word faith. And if you're a note taker, get it out. Guys, keep this with you. This stuff will help you. And what I want you to understand today is that you do not overcome your fears by simply trying to get rid of them. Some of you have been trying to do that all your life, and it's not working. No, you conquer your fears by replacing them with faith. And the question is, how then do I get into faith mode when I feel myself slipping into fear mode? You may not be able to keep fear from coming, but you can move into faith when it comes. So key number one, here's your F. And faith always starts here. Focus on God's presence. Focus on God's presence. Fear will always succumb to the recognition of a greater and stronger presence than whatever storm may be driving your fear. And what does God's word say in Hebrews 13 and verse 5 concerning the storm you may be going through right now? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That is not just a happy thought. That is your declaration, and that is reality when you find yourself in the midst of a storm. Lord, I do not know what to do right now, but I thank you that you are with me. Listen, fear is driven by our loss of focus on God's presence in the midst of the storm. That's why you're fearing, but when you begin to recognize that, oh, he's on board, and I start focus on his presence, all of a sudden the fear falls away. Not because I tried to get rid of it, because I replaced it with a faith focus. How could it be that the Son of God was right there in the boat with these disciples, and yet they were terrified of the storm and fearful that they're going to drown? Let me ask it for us. How can it be that the Spirit of God indwells us, and yet we so easily become fearful in our storms? I mean, Jesus was right there in the boat with them. Why didn't it dawn on any of them that the safest place they could be in a storm, you know what? He's down there sleeping on a cushion. I better grab a cushion and get next to him. Right? If he doesn't seem to be worried about the storm, maybe I don't need to be worried about it either. If he can sleep through the storm, why don't we just get a little shut-eye right now as well? Again, it reminds me of a little kid who'd always loved school, loved walking to school by himself. Then all of a sudden, it seemed, he lost his desire to go to school. He was fearful of walking alone. He would cry when it was time to go to school. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And he was afraid to disclose to his family that a big bully had started picking on him, would wait in the bushes every day to kind of rough him up, steal his candy bar from his lunchbox, had warned him that if he told anybody, he'd be in big trouble. I'll take you down. Well, his dad, sensing that something like this was going on, asked the little guy one day, hey, would it be okay if I just walk you to school next week? Would you like that? His eyes lit up. He said, Dad, would you? And sure enough, they're walking to school. The dad knew exactly what was going on. When they come to the place where there's a bully in the bushes ready to pounce, the dad said, so that bully could hear, you let anyone know who's bothering you that they're going to have to deal with me.
At which point that little guy, now buoyed with courage because of the presence and protection of his dad, got to that place and went to the bully in the bushes and was never bothered again. But my question is, what changed? The presence of the bully was no longer a threat because of the presence of someone bigger and stronger. And that is exactly what will happen to our fear in the presence of any storm when we remember, oh yeah, there's someone bigger on board my vessel. So I think I'm going to grab my cushion and curl up next to him. Remember, the number one issue with fear is a loss of focus on God's presence, power, and control. And into that absence comes the fear of whatever the presenting circumstances may be at the moment. When that happens, guys, go find your cushion, get next to Jesus, and focus on his presence. That's the beginning of faith. Key number two, the A. You first focus on his presence. The A is you admit your need, because you still have a need. Focusing on his presence does not mean that we live in denial of the storm. I find a lot of people who just try, oh, I'm living in denial. We still have a storm that's raging. We may still have some fear and concern about what to do. You don't live in denial. When Jesus told us in Mark chapter 11 to stand in front of the mountain and tell it to move, the reality is that there's a mountain in front of us. The real reality is we may be going through a storm. Faith doesn't ignore the presence of the problem. Some people say, well, if I admit that I've got a problem, that's just going to make it stronger. No. It doesn't make it stronger. You focused on God's presence. Now you know what to do. Take the problem to him. We're going to admit that we got a problem. Faith admits its need in light of the problem. So when you feel the wind and the waves, when you see the storm, when you feel the waves breaking in on your life and you're tempted to fear, it's not time to panic and cave into fear. Get in God's presence, recognize that he's on board and that he has the answer to your need. And then admit your need. Ask God for what you need. Look at Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. I never go to the throne of grace until I recognize, oh yeah, he's here. And since he's here, then let's go to the throne of grace with confidence. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Not always exactly what I thought I needed, but I'm telling you what, God's got something that's going to help me get through this. See, rather than giving way to panic, get your cushion and curl up next to Jesus and say to him, Lord, I have a predicament here, and because you're on board the boat, because you're with me, I know I'm going to be okay, but I commit the storm to you. I admit my need for your power, your peace, your healing, your provision right now. Be specific enough with what you need that you can say, I know what I've asked of God, and I will know the answer when it comes. And many of you know this. I'm so glad that God taught me how to grab a hold of this cushion way back when I was a kid, and I'm in college, and I know he has sent me. I am on mission for him, but I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. But I don't have any money. My family's not helping me pay for money. You know how many times I went down in that little dark closet, closed the door, got down on my knees and grabbed my cushion and said, Lord, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you sent me. And I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, but I need to take a check to third floor soon if I'm going to stay in school. And I've told you five or six times how that $500 anonymous check came. Not because Cal was one of God's favorites, but because when he's on board the boat and he's put you on mission, he's got the answer to your need. So you focus on his presence, you admit your need, and then key number three, you identify the lie. What I mean by that, you identify the lie that's causing you to walk in fear right now. Behind every stronghold, I don't care what the stronghold is, behind every stronghold is always a lie. If you feel like you're in the grip of fear all the time, you got a stronghold of fear, can I tell you something? You're listening to a lie that's propping up that stronghold. And your fear is not going to leave until you identify that lie and get rid of it. Here in this moment in the boat, you can hear the lies behind the disciples' fear. Lord, don't you care? Said another way, he doesn't care. He's asleep at the wheel. Oh, and here's the next one. And we're going to drown. Oh, really? I thought he said, get in the boat. We're going across the lake. I don't remember him saying, we're going out in the lake to drown. Where'd that lie come from? When did you start believing that? Who do you suppose is the author of that? Guys, when we rehearse and repeat our lies long enough, they begin to feel like the truth, but they're not. Fear says things like, I'm never going to find another job. I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to get well. I'm never, you fill in the blank. I'm never. Jesus is riding in your vessel, and the whole time you're focused on the fear of what might or might not happen. Listen, go curl up on your cushion next to him and let him speak into that fear and the lie behind it. The only way you're going to get free of your fear is to identify the lie that's driving it, and then you replace it with truth, which we'll talk about in a minute. But the first question is always, what are you afraid of? The underlying and corresponding question you need to answer, and what is the lie that's driving that fear? Look, when Jesus said, get in the boat, we're going across the lake. Where did he say we're going? Across the lake. He didn't say, as I already mentioned, get in the boat and let's go drown. So if he said, I'm going across the lake, that's where I'm going. If a storm has come up that contradicts his word, then I know one way or another that storm has got to give, because his word is sure. Amen? Amen. Jesus will either get me through the storm or he'll stop it altogether. But either way, it's not going to stop me. I'm going across this lake because that's what Jesus said. So guys, some of you, you're going to have to identify some lies and then renounce them in Jesus' name. But here's what I'm telling you. You find the lie and you can stop the fear. If you continue to live in the grip of the lie, then fear will have his grip on you. Focus on his presence, admit your need, then identify the lie. Why? Here, this goes right with it. Here's key number four, the T, is talk God's truth. The lie has to bow to his truth. I know that waves are breaking in over the boat right now. I know I'm tempted to believe that God doesn't care or is asleep at the wheel and this boat is going down. But I'm not going to give way to fear. In fact, in the name of Jesus, I renounce my fear and the lie behind it. And I begin to replace those lies with the truth, which is Jesus is on board this boat. He said we're going across the lake, so I'm believing we're going across. Now, he's either going to calm the storm or take me through it, but this I know, we're going to the other side. You talk God's truth. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But it's not just knowing the truth that leads to freedom, though that's the first step. You have got to know it, but it's so that you can believe it, speak it, and stand on it in the face of any fearful storm that comes. Get God's truth on your lips and your fears will flee. When the devil comes around telling you how weak you are, talk back. Oh, you remember that series? Didn't we do a series called Talk Back? Talk back with truth. God, your word says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When he tells you that this storm is going to take you out, thank you, Lord, that Romans 8:37 says, no matter what I face, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. When the enemy tells you that you're never going to have enough, thank you, Lord, your word says that according to your riches, you will meet all my needs in Christ Jesus. When he tells you that you've sinned and messed up so badly, there's no forgiveness for you, thank you, Lord, that where sin abounded, God's grace did much more abound. When he tells you that heaven's a myth and you haven't been good enough to make it anyway, thank you, Lord, that your word says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When he tells you that you're never going to be free, thank you, Lord, that according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set me free. When he tells you that you'll always be subject to fear, thank you, Lord, that 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. When he tells you that there's no purpose in what you're going through, thank you, Lord, that in all things you are at work for the good of those who love you and have been called according to your purpose. Hallelujah. That's how you talk the truth. There's some of you in here right now, you need to go take your pillow and turn it into a cushion of some kind and start writing the truth of God's word all over that pillow or sticking it inside the stuffing. So when you lay down at night, you're going, okay, I know Jesus is on board the boat and he's not worried about the storm, so I'm going to sleep. Amen. Guys, I don't think there's probably a greater lesson. All the lessons that we evangelicals need to get a hold of today is this one right here. Learning to speak God's truth in the face of fear. Holy cow. There are all kinds of opportunities to fear today. And even the body of Christ sometimes be falling apart. Politicians freaking out, postulating all kinds of absurd ideas about how to save the planet. Are we stewards? Yes, we're stewards of the planet. We got to have clean water. We got to clean air. I get that. But there are people who are worshiping Mother Earth, and it's our job to protect her. And the only reason they're postulating these crazy ideas is because they do not know the Word of God. But the Church of God is supposed to know the Word of God. He's the one who said, it's called the Noahic Covenant. This is his covenant with the earth. Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And what will be its end? 2 Peter 3 and verse 7. By the word of the Lord, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. There's going to be a global warming, but it's going to be Jesus coming back again, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Guys, that's the global warming we ought to be concerned about. And if we knew the word of God, we would be on our knees repenting before him and saying, Lord God, we have trampled your moral laws under our feet. We have ignored the word of God. We are subject to judgment, but we want your blessing. We are on our knees repenting on behalf of this nation, but we do not fear. We know what the word of God says. And I'll tell you what, it's time for us to stand up in that truth rather than just falling prey to all kind of irrational fear. We ought to be the ones that are rational. I'm not the one walking in fear because I know what God's word says. I'm looking forward to the day of the Lord. See, guys, fear comes into the vacuum when you don't know what he said. So I say to you, stand on the truth of God's word. Speak God's word in the storm, and you won't succumb to irrational fear. Focus on God's presence, admit your need, identify the lie, so that you can talk the truth. Now, if you're doing those four, here's the H that puts the capstone on our faith. Head into the storm. You don't run from it. You're doing these other four, head into the storm. If you follow these four keys, you can head in the storm knowing that one way or another, you're going through the other side. You just stay focused on the Father's purpose for you, and you'll have all the power you need to, by faith, confront the storms that arise in your path. I've often wondered why Jesus, after calming the storm, chastised the disciples for their lack of faith. Do you still have no faith? What was he saying? What was he meaning by that? I think it's possible he meant, guys, don't you recognize I'm on the boat? Don't you recognize who I am? Because if you knew who I was, who I am, then you wouldn't be freaking out in fear. Oh, he probably meant that. But I think he meant something else, because remember, disciples are in training. He's trying to help them understand that he's going to go away and they're going to be okay because they know him and they know the authority of his name. And so I wonder if he was saying as well, I'm on the boat, and if you really believed in me, you would know that in my name, you yourselves have what you need to handle the storm. See, personally, I believe that this was a demonically inspired storm. You do know that demons can stir things up at times to try and thwart God's purpose. And I'm not telling you that every storm is demonically inspired. That's certainly not true. I'm saying that some storms are, particularly when they're an attempt to hinder what God is attempting to do in the moment. And I believe that this one was for two primary reasons. First of all, I told you that Jesus got up and rebuked it. He never rebuked anything that was coming from the Father's hand. He only rebuked that which the enemy was sending him to keep him from his purpose. The second reason why I believe it's a demonically inspired storm is because when you understand where he was headed to the other side of the lake, where was he going and why? The next thing he does, he's going to encounter what we call the Gadarene demoniac. Who, when he confronted him, this man fell on his knees, said, what is your name? The demon said, we're legion. What's legion mean? 5,000 of us present. And so I believe a storm blew up because the enemy's freaking out that he's going to take one of my subjects and transform him right now. Someone in that town had been praying, or perhaps even the heart of that tormented man had heard that Jesus was around and was calling out, please come and deliver me from my torment. Somehow, Jesus heard, he heard it. And he said, guys, we got to cross the lake because someone's been calling out. And someone needs my touch. Trust me, guys, ain't no storm going to stop the purposes of God when Jesus said, let's go across. The disciples didn't know that. They didn't know Jesus was on a divine mission, but because he was, and because he knew that this is what the Father wanted, he also knew that no storm or obstacle the enemy might throw in his path was about to stop him. So he could sleep in the storm and silence it with one word of rebuke. Listen to me. I won't even charge you extra for this today. Just think about it. You can sleep in any storm over which you know you have authority. You only freak out when you think you're not prepared. So when I say head into the storm, I'm reminding you that when you're on mission for God and doing what he's called you to do and a storm comes up to hinder you, you need not fear. In Jesus' name, you have the same authority over any storm that comes to hinder something that God has clearly called you to do. Head into it, knowing that he's either going to stop it, part it, or use you to shut it down. One of the greatest preachers I ever heard is a man named Stephen Olford. Died in 2004, but I consider it an incredible privilege to have met him. He was instrumental in Billy Graham's life way back in their early days. He spoke at our annual convention where all of our churches get together. He spoke there in 1981 when I was just a 22-year-old kid. And again in 1990 as Northwoods was just starting up. And man, he really encouraged me in the mission of our new church. But I've never forgotten a story he told, and it captured my heart and imagination as a young pastor. I mean, think about that. 22 years old, and I still remember it. Like that was 15 years ago. No, almost 40 years later, I still remember. Because it captured my heart and affirmed what I always believed, that the God we read about in the Bible is still the same today. Stephen was raised in Africa. His parents were missionaries. And one day his father was on a mission to connect with another village, I believe, taking the gospel to some people who'd never heard the gospel. Very clearly directed of God. He had Stephen, probably 8 years old, his brother, who I think was younger, with them when they got lost in the bush. And for 3 days they lost. For 3 days they were wandering around. No food, no water. Now, guys, I don't know if you know, you can live a long time without food. But you got about 3 days without water. They're on their third day. Stephen says, We'd become hot, dehydrated. Our bodies were beginning to shut down. Our lips were beginning to swell. We were beginning to hallucinate. This would be their last day unless they could find water. And Stephen says, I can still hear my father. I love his British. I wish I could do his British accent. I still hear my father. What a man of God he was as he went aside in the bush that day and got down on his knees. I think he just had to get next to his life preserver. Think of this, an 8-year-old hearing his father on his knees. Father God, you know that I love you. It's only been my heart to obey and serve you all my life. And did I believe that you were asking me this day to lay down my life and the lives of my two boys on the anvil of my service to you? You know I would not hesitate to do that. But because you have called me to a purpose that is not yet complete, and because I have the witness in my spirit that I am on assignment for you, I therefore command in the name of Jesus that the skies open now and send us rain. Always wondered why Stephen preached like God was right at his elbow. What do you think would happen in the heart of an 8-year-old boy is just moments after he hears his dad praying that? A cloud the size of a man's hand forms right over them and turns into this dark thundercloud that releases buckets and buckets and buckets of fresh water that kept them alive. I heard that story. I go, wow! That's the God I want to believe in. That's the God of my scripture. That's a God that I want on my lips and that I want riding in my boat. Amen? But here's what I'm telling you guys. Stay on mission, and the storms that come to terrify you, hinder you, and oppose you will not stop you. When you know God and you know he's on board your vessel, when you know you belong to him, you know you're an assignment for him, when you're clear about his purpose for you, and you know he said, let's go across the lake, you can bet you're going across that lake. And then when the enemy throws a storm in your path to try and hinder you or oppose you, you can know it's not the time to cower in fear and turn tail and run, to start to doubt God and give way to panic. That is the time to stand up and say, storm, I have Jesus on this boat with me, and he said we're going to the other side. So it's time you stand down, move aside, and get out of the way in the name of Jesus, because you are not going to stop what God wants done. Can I hear an amen in the house today? That, my friend, is how you stand in faith when fear is trying to take you down. Turn your fear into faith. You will stand strong in the name of Jesus. I want you to bow your head and your heart. Guys, we're going to take communion. It's not going to take long, but I just want you to seal this word right now. And I want you to begin to thank God for who he is, that he's on board your vessel. If you don't even know that he is, then you got a reason to be afraid. Invite him into your life. Tell him, come and captain this ship. I need you on this boat. We're going to take communion just to seal this in right now. And so as they come to serve you, just hold on to your cup and your bread and listen to the words of this incredible song. Make it your prayer. Make it your declaration as we prepare for communion.
There is a promise that points beyond my failure. There is a still voice to silence all my fears. And I know that it is so. Your kingdom will not be shaken. Your kingdom will not be shaken. By your stripes I am healed. With one touch I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so.
Love those words is exactly what we were talking about. You've spoken, Lord, and it's so. If we're going across the lake, you've said it, that's where we're going. So we take communion today. Jesus, I love this verse in Romans 8:32. Talks about if God be for us, who can be against us? And then it says, he who did not spare his own son for us, how will he not also along with him freely give us all things? He's already given us the greatest he could give us. You know, everything else, no problem. And so we're reminded today that in the Son, on board our vessel, he's got what we need. Jesus broke the bread the night he was betrayed. He gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. Yes, remembering him, but remembering why it was broken. Because this, as you release your faith and you partake, it becomes present day strength. It becomes present day sustenance. It becomes your sustaining power. It becomes your healing. It becomes what you need in your body as you're facing the storm. Release your faith right now and let the Lord know, I receive all of your strength, all of your healing, all that you died to give me. I receive it in my body right now by faith. Let's partake together. And then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood given for the remission of sins. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Remembering what? He wants to come to you, child of God, and say, listen, you remember when I told you that if you confessed your sins, I would be faithful and just to forgive you? I have cleansed you and washed you from every sin. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy who tries to make you feel guilty. But not only have I forgiven you, child of God, this blood is my power to set you free from any bondage. Don't listen to that lie that says you're never going to be free. I'll set you free. Child of God, I want you to understand that one day you're going to breathe your last and I'm going to get you across. And this blood is the guarantee that I will present you faultless before the Father. And he will smile and wrap his arms around you and say, welcome home, son or daughter, and it will be all right. This is what you need. His forgiveness, his power for freedom. Understanding that sets you right before Almighty God. Release your faith. Receive it today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're on board the boat. We're going to the other side. We're going to be okay. Some of you may need prayer after the service. Come on down. There'll be a prayer team here. to pray with you, maybe into some of the things that you're facing right now. I want you to stand right now. Here's how we're going to end this thing at all of our campuses. You know what? This was our pregame talk. Now you're headed out to the field to play the game this week. I want you to go declaring. I want you to say it with me like you believe it today. In the name of Jesus, I believe and declare that I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So fear, take a hike in the name of Jesus. Now give him praise. Give him praise. And you go out talking his truth this week. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week. Those of you watching online, thank you so much for being with us today. I pray that this word got down into your heart and that you would understand if God's on board the vessel, you're going to be okay. He's going to take you across. Just curl up next to him. Listen to him and start speaking what he said, and you'll see that fear leave your life. God bless you. Hope you'll meet us again next week.